I'm also. We good? I'm going to call to order a regular meeting for the board for the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. And we'll do a roll call. Here.
Director Guyton. Austin.
Here.
Director Hill.
Here.
And I do want to welcome Director Austin to the board. We look forward to working with her, and congratulations on your election and appointment.
I second that.
I understand she was in the parade recently and took a distinguished honor in that as well. So we're looking forward to working with you. Seeing that today is the anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor, I'm going to ask everyone to take a moment of silence with us before we move to the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you. Please stand with us as we salute the flag.
Father, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we're going to move on to agenda review. Do any members of the board want to change the order of the agenda? If not, I'll accept the motion.
I don't have any change for the agenda, but I it occurs to me that the first meeting in December is usually when we select the officers going forward.
Okay.
But I would move to approve the agendas presented.
Okay, there's a motion. Is there a second?
I second it.
There's a motion and there's a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. Let's move on to public comments. Do any members of the community want to address the board under the public comments?
Hattie Welsh, Arroyo Grande. I find it disappointing that the medical benefits this district offers employees has not been fully discussed. The benefits are not sustainable and are more than any other company or city offers to their employees. This district does not require employees to be vested in the company. The employees do not have to contribute to the benefits package. And we have three employees who will be getting those benefits at 55 years old for the rest of their lives. In four more years, we will have more employees getting medical benefits than we will have working for the plant. There are six retired currently, two more who will retire in 3 years, and one who will retire in 4 years. The classic member can retire at 55 years old, and the district pays benefits for the family up to $1,800 a month. We have changed the retirement age to 62. However, the problem is we aren't asking them to contribute to the benefit package, and they don't have to be vested in order to receive the benefits. In CalPERS, in most places, you have to be vested for 5 years. So if you look at somebody like Mr. Huebner, who is contracted to work for the district for 3 years and will be old enough to retire, at the end of 3 years, we will pay him $1,800 a month for 3 years worth of service. That is one hell of a deal for Mr. Huebner, but not for the district. This is not sustainable, and I don't think it's right that the ratepayers have to bear the burden of such a lopsided package. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and it occurs to me that two of you were not at the last board meeting, and the third wasn't a board member when there was the last board meeting. So really, everything that happened at the last board meeting, you're relying on the minutes only, unless you watch the tape. So I am going to repeat myself on a couple of items. One, I asked the board before you 2 weeks ago if they would agendize the Cambria project. It appears that your district administrator and their general manager are negotiating a deal to take some 20,000 gallons a day of desalinated brine at your facility. I asked that night, I ask again today, until I see it in writing, I need to know the answer. Can your facility take that kind of capacity? And for how long? Because day after day after day is a lot of salt that you would be adding to your discharge. And then what kind of revenue would that bring you? What does it cost for Cambria citizens? And while we mull this over, this would, I would believe, needs water board approval. And it seems to me that these early negotiations would include them. And then you have goals for your own recycled water project and the constituents that you end up with after you have done recycling will likely be in higher concentration, and you'll need that outfall for your own flows. So you don't want to, you know, clip your own wings by entering into a contract for any long-term period that would hurt your own abilities to use that discharge. Another thing that came up at the last board meeting was your board and Chair Scholes at the time gave the direction to correct the record on the Mary Lucy opinion piece or blog or whatever it was that slandered, defamed, and libeled both Mayor Hill and your superintendent, John Clemens, and that's not happening. I haven't seen the corrections made. Your district is running very well, and your plant is running very well, and the things that she said were completely contrary to that, and like I said, defamation. And you directed staff to correct that. When it was asked about 2 weeks ago...
Your time's up, Julie.
May I just finish?
Finish it.
Mr. Huebner said that that wasn't direction, and I beg to differ, and the tape is clear. He was given direction to clear the record.
Is there anyone else?
Good evening. Mary Lucy, rate player for the lovely area of Oceano. I was listening to some of the other people do public comment, and I'd like to point out, and probably most of you know this, but not everybody knows this, is that the benefits packet was put in place many, many, many years before any of us came to this table. So, and it's gone through many, many boards, and it's not directed towards Mr. Huebner. And I do know that that all the employees have similar benefits when it comes to what they receive. So to pin it on one person is just a biased statement. But I do know that you've been working very closely with an HR person to correct it and balance things out, and that's satisfactory to me. Censure, as far as the accusation of coming to the board to censure my comments and waiting for a retraction, I'm here to say that it's not going to happen. So I'm sorry that that you don't have a retraction. I'm not going to write a retraction, nor am I going to withdraw a retraction. So that's probably the end of that one, unless somebody wants to take more action on that. And as far as the Cambria brine, I would advise you that when your staff that you pay to bring recommendations to this board brings a recommendation to this board, then you deal with it at that time. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Patricia Price, Arroyo Grande. I wanted to speak to the first speaker's recommendation that the medical benefits be looked at again and possibly changed to reflect what is going on now. and it doesn't have anything to do with our administrator. It has to do with the sustainability of the medical benefits that we will be paying for from now on for people when they retire. I mean, that's the way it is right now, and it needs to be changed. And if we're doing that, then wonderful. I applaud. I'd like to know that it's being done. As a member of the public, I would like reports on that to let me know what's going on, because I can probably go and find the information, but the rest of the public might not be that interested to go find. I just would like it to be on video so anybody who is interested can know what's going on. The Cambria Project, I would like reports. I'd like the administrator to report to the board in front of the public so the public can know what's going on. As far as the comments by Ms. Lucy, I think that they should be in some way addressed, because what she said was very grossly untrue. And I don't know if that would be a statement by the board saying these were the statements and this was not true. I don't know how that would be addressed, but it needs to be addressed to the public who heard it one way or another. And this camera is a good way to do it, to say what actually happened, what was true, what was untrue, and then let it be done. You know, I'm done with it at that point. I know what I know, but there are a lot of people who don't know the truth from the lies. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Hi, my name is Terry Clare, and I'm excited to live in Oceano. It was a dream of mine. I'm excited for the new board. And I do have some concerns. I live at 1349 16th Street. And I was just talking to my neighbor who was putting up some decorations. And he's a retired officer from the prison. And we were talking about our retirement. I am retired from the California State Teacher System. I'm currently with CalSTRS, and I'm also a sub in Lucia Mar. And I am appalled at the kind of benefit that the district has offered to anybody. It may be years old, but it's appalling at this time of an economy that somebody would benefit like that. I worked for many years and have not even close to that. And another friend in the National Guard said she also was appalled. And all these people live in Oceano, which I think is a positive note, because we want to get involved. This has stirred up some talk. And I think that's good. And there's a lot of interest in Oceano, and maybe bringing back more things to Pier Avenue, and maybe people cleaning up and working together. And I'd like to be part of that team. And so I just wanted to address that one issue. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that would like to address the board during public comment? Okay, seeing no one come forward, let me close it and bring it back to the board. And Mr. Huebner, I know that, and I think Ms. Lucy had mentioned it, we have been addressing benefits, and I think there obviously are some things that cannot be done in open session, I believe.
That is correct. We are continuing to work on that effort since we were directed months ago, and at some point soon we will be bringing an item for board discussion. I can't go into it at this point, but and then the board will... We'll take direction from the board and go from there.
Very good. And then just to clear up the record, there was no board direction regarding a direct response to the comments that former director Lucy made. The direction was that there was a lot of information that was misinformation given that night, not by many individuals, and that we were going to try and find a way to identify that information and provide the proper information with respect to the district and how it's operating and other things of that nature. And I believe that was the direction, and we can certainly go back and take a look at the tape, but that is my recollection of the record. So with that, we're going to move on.
Can we move forward with that in the near term, Mr. Chair?
Yes, I would say direction to Mr. Huebner.
And I would... Just to add, item 7A is a point in that direction.
Okay, very good.
Today's item.
Okay, let's move on to our consent agenda tonight. There are five items on this consent agenda, and I know that there are several minutes from October 5th, 19th, November 16th. There are warrants, and then there's a financial review at October 31st, 2016. Do any members of the board want to pull any items from consent?
Chair Schulz, would like to bring to your attention one correction on the warrant register. We list for LARA services is November. It's actually for October and November. So those are 2 months, not just 1 month,
okay,
that are described for that particular item. Thank you.
Okay. And then I think was the Jim, go ahead.
I have a couple of questions on the warrants and the financial review and probably a couple of the minutes. And, of course, I was not here at the last meeting.
That was the November 16th. Okay. Go ahead. You have the floor.
Minor correction on the October 19th. Operators are being the very last item 8A, page 5. Operators are being compensated commensurate with their performance and certification. I hope that isn't true. Probably commensurate.
Which one is that, Jim?
That's 8A, last paragraph. On the November 16th, there was a Ms. Tacker's public comment on the brine disposal. Sounds like something that I would like the board to be informed on. And just a comment on that. I've been told a couple times that the administrators passed something by the chair, and I would remind the administrator that this is a three-person board, and I'm sure that Director Austin and myself would like to be informed immediately when any board member is informed of something, and to, I think, withhold comment or direct it to one board member when there's general interest is concerning to me. The warrant register, I see a number of things that are listed as budget line item source control program. I'm not sure what that is, but I see there's Berdine Printing, Graphics, a Jessica Mattson, and then OCSD is listed as source control program. I'm not sure what that is. Is that the FOG program?
Okay, so you had a question regarding the budget line item?
Yes, so okay. In the broader scheme, it's to be encompassing FOG, public outreach to the degree that we're reducing pollutants that potentially come into it. So it's an all-encompassing program, including public outreach, which Ms. Mattson is assisting with us. She's helped us with the website. And so that's the purpose of that particular program. Ultimately, that's to lead us to reclamation with the long-term goal. So it's a short explanation.
It looks as though, I looked through the draft newsletter and I saw nothing related to source control. So I'm presuming that Berdine Printing and Ms. Mattson's time and so forth, and probably OCSD if it was newsletter mailing, I don't see how those, because I saw nothing related to that in the newsletter, how that relates to that budget line item.
Those are all expenses related to the distribution of the newsletter through our partners. And again, public outreach.
Okay. So, Jim, you're not calling into question the amount. You're calling into question the budget line item and the title?
Yes.
So would there be a more appropriate title if you had something?
Public outreach, newsletter, something of that nature. Source control program is not really informative, in my view, as to what the expense is about.
Would that sufficiently describe what?
Public outreach, something of that nature.
Okay. Certainly, that's a change we can make within our budget and how we describe it and how we expense.
Okay.
Again, it was sort of to be more broad and expansive, but I have no problem with that.
And the last question on that is relates to Stanley Security, a security camera. Just $4,600 seems to me to be, I don't know, maybe I'm looking at non-industrial grade security cameras, but that seems to be a pretty high amount for a security camera.
Mr. Clemens, would you like to answer that particular one since you procured that item?
Yes, sir. A large part of the expense was the fact that the camera is at the front gate, and anyone that's been at the plant, they actually had to pull wire all the way from the front gate. We had to install a new outlet out there for the camera. So it wasn't like at home where they put a camera on your front porch and you're right there in the house. This
we had to run wires and everything. Okay, I understand that. Thank you.
And if I could add, we have now a monitor within our admin building control where we can obviously monitor who comes in and out of our gate, and it's recorded.
Okay, those are my questions, Mr. Chair.
Board Member Austin, you have anything?
I don't have anything.
Okay. So what I'm thinking is that on the November 16th minutes, I know I have not had a chance to take a look at the tapes, so maybe that is an item we can pull and then do our due diligence and maybe take action at the next meeting. Let me see if there's anyone from the community that would like to make comment on the consent agenda.
Ron Holt, Arroyo Grande. I just have one quick question. I notice on the warrants that there's one for about $320 to Donnie Brand. I was wondering when we're going to be done with those people. Thank you.
Anyone else?
I spent a good part of the afternoon going over all of the budgets or the expenditures for the last few months. And in August, our legal expenses were down. We had an HR bill of a little over $4,000, which I believe that she's been redoing the handbook or the rule book or whatever. On Downey Brand, I noticed that almost every month there was a bill for anywhere from $300 to $800. And I also would like to know why we're still dealing with them. And starting in October, I see almost $18,000 worth of legal fees. November 16th, it looks like there's about $18,000 worth. This period, I see, well, HR is involved to the tune of over $5,000. And there's an outside counsel, it's Liebert Cassidy Whitmore, I think. They have had bills for the last couple of months in October, November, and December for $3,000, $5,000. I mean, I totaled all of the legal bills, but I don't know why we have all these outs, and I don't know who Wendy Stockton is. Maybe she's part of the Trujillo pair or something. Okay. because she's been billing a lot of hours too. Anyway, it just seems like our legal bills have really gone up in the last few months, and I would like to know what pending litigation or whatever. I'd like to have a little more information on that. When you go into closed session, what is it that we're thinking is going to happen? What is it that we're thinking is going to come at us? I'd just like to know what our legal issues are in this district. There's got to be a reason for them, and we need to do something about it.
Is there anyone else?
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I have some of the same questions. The Liebert, Cassidy, Whitmore, outside counsel, I'll remind Mrs. Price, she was called by that firm as part of the investigation from the September matter that you and I were both part of that. And I think the total for that is over $10,000 at this point. Having some heartburn over the human resources, even if it is October and November, in excess of $5,000, I think in September it was around the same amount. So that number doesn't seem to be reduced, and I'm not seeing any product. I'm not seeing new personnel policies. I'm not seeing the retirement package before your board. So let's see some results. All I've seen is litigation or grievances, and I think that's very unfortunate. This Michael Nunley cites alternative evaluation. Another $2,000, now it's over $10,000 to answer the Coastal Commission. And your board, maybe you got a packet on it, but what you should have done is had a presentation on it, because I think you'd find it interesting that your consultants had a conversation with the Coastal Commission, and that really the life of your plant is 17 more years, and that your consultants know you need to move. You need to move away from the coast. That is the trend. The Coastal Commission is requiring planned retreat. So with big projects or any repairs to infrastructure, they're asking that you back your facilities away from the ocean. There is such a thing as sea level rise. And you're in a floodplain, and you have all the other complications at that location. And with 17 years, that's what Daniel Robinson told me, was told to him by your consultants, 17 years will come and go very fast. And you better get a plan on how to retreat from the ocean. And this site's alternative analysis would have been a good place to start talking about it. And I hope you do bring that forward, or maybe ask for it, because it's interesting, but you do need to be ahead of it, because it's going to be expensive and it's important.
Is there anyone else?
Speaking of HR and the bills that are coming in, the last meeting I attended was when the two mics were speaking of their grievance. I believe it's HR was given 6 months to write classification for whatever it is, stage three operator. 6 months? Really? That should be 30 to 60 days if you're competent to write it. I mean, we've been down this road for a while now. Please start spending our money wisely. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
I'm Mary Lucy Oceano. As long as claims keep being made and accusations keep being made, and legally as an organization, and I say us as an organization because it's us paying the bills, we have to do the responsible thing, and that's to investigate.
and people don't come out of the woodwork and say, hey, I'm going to volunteer to investigate, you know, this really vindictive or weird dynamic that's been happening at the Sand District. So, of course, legal counsel is going to go up. Of course, inspections are going to go up. Of course, you know, people are going to be shocked and amazed that they were called by, you know, an investigator to get some facts. I'd like to know a little bit more on how somebody from the audience can know the length of the history, I mean, not the length, but how much longer our plant has to live versus everything else. I just find it odd that one person was able to say, oh, you only have 17 years left and the clock is ticking. So as long as you have HR working on policies and procedures and classifications, and this person didn't walk right and this person looked at me cross-eyed, those bills are going to be up. I'm sorry, you know, it's just, that's how it works. And so hopefully I have to echo the last person, is that hopefully we get to a point where our dollars are spent wiser versus on these wild goose chases.
Because anyone else? Seeing no one come forward, let me bring it back to the board. And I believe we are looking at items 5A, 5B, 5D, and 5E. Is there any additional discussion, or is someone prepared to make a motion on these items?
I'll move approval of items 5A, 5B, 5D, and 5E.
And then on 5D, that would be with the changes to the wording you brought up before.
With the change to the description of the...
Okay, very good. Is there a second?
...that we discussed.
Can I say, I wasn't here. I
will second that. Thank you. I'll second that. And with that, let's do a roll call. And
possibly it would be good. Let me retract my motion, if that's acceptable, and we can take 5A and B separately, and then Director Austin can participate on the 5D and D.
Good idea, and I'll withdraw my second.
Let me move then that we approve items 5A and 5B.
Okay, I will second that. And so all in favor?
Aye.
And then I guess Director Austin will refrain.
Refrain.
Very good. Okay. Let's move to items 5D and 5E.
I move approval of item 5D and 5E.
I second it.
Okay, there's a motion, there's a second. If there's no additional discussion, let's do a roll call on this one.
Chairman Scholes?
Yes.
Director Hill?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Okay, very good. We're going to move on to item number 6. This is the District Administrator and Plant Superintendent's Report. Mr. Huebner, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair Scholes. Directors, members of the audience, Gerhard Huebner. You have the usual written report in front of you. As I've done in the past, I'll focus in on the highlights. Those are provided to you in italicized type. So, first page on the report provided you with the press release from the regional board they issued on October 13th regarding our settlement. In that regard, staff has processed and sent checks by certified mail to the Bay Foundation for the two SEP projects. So we're confident now that all payments have been made. We're also facilitating a meeting with regional board staff and the NCMA group members to talk about the SEP groundwater model development. So that's in progress. Moving on to the Cherry Avenue Aurora Grande Sewer Bridge maintenance project. We were successful in getting a permit or notice of applicability, essentially a general permit from the regional board. We continue to await the other one from California Department of Fish and Wildlife. That would allow us then to proceed to the next step, which is the final specs, putting the project out for bid, and then bringing that back to your board at some point for award of contract. regarding our grit removal system project. On Tuesday, November 22nd, we started it up. It was operational through the Thanksgiving holiday. It's currently shut down. We're waiting for a part that failed. With that part being reinstalled, we hope to have it operational, run our 14-day operational check-in period, and then move forward with the final completion of the drawings, inspections, and contract closeout. For our mechanical bar screen, you're aware that the board at the September 7th meeting awarded a contract. We've issued a notice to proceed, and so the contractor has ordered the parts, and we await delivery. And that should take a couple weeks. So, but that project is moving forth as well. Regarding our redundancy project, I just have a small notation here regarding the financing of it. We've been working with Bartle Wells and Associates and working with them to get any financial information they need to put together the financial package. At some point in 2007, we'll come back to you and hopefully proceed with some type of financing options, including perhaps an application to the State Water Resource Control Board. On our satellite water resource facility grant, continue to make good progress on that. I've been meeting regularly with our consultant at WSC, working with the Aurora Grande staff as well, our partners in this grant. Tentatively plan to bring a draft report to you on your December 21st meeting. That's our intent. Moving on towards district control building, we have an item on the trailer, so I won't provide any more information on that and other than that's already been provided. Regional efforts, there's a few meetings that are scheduled for the Aurora Grande MOU group. The next one is December 20th. Today there was an IRWM meeting. I was unable to attend, but I did have an opportunity actually to talk to the county staffer on that actually this afternoon and get a little feedback on what was going on there. Similarly, they had the WR Water Resource Advisory Committee meeting. Again, I was unable to attend today, but I did get a briefing from the county staff. On the water use Central Coast chapter, I did attend their November 15th meeting where they did a presentation, or actually a presentation provided by the district engineer from Department of Public Health within State Water Resource Control Board. Very informative in terms of where the recycling regulations are going into the future. This, of course, would have applicability if we participate at some future date in an indirect potable reuse project, for example, groundwater injection into the Santa Maria Basin. Continue to work with the North Cities Management Group, technical group, and a couple meetings, again, with model development. The intent is to support that effort. If district money, of course, through the penalty and the settlement, we want them to be successful with that endeavor. So that's why I participate with that group. Similarly, there's efforts with the county water action team. They are looking to see how best use of water or the water portfolios of the various entities and how that might be coordinated. And then I'll conclude, lastly, our website is up and running. And we've gotten some good feedback, but of course, it's always will be a work in progress. I think our next major effort is content management, organizations, what documents up there, how best to make it as user-friendly and available for the public as possible. So with that, I'll conclude my presentation, and be, of course, happy to answer any questions. Mr. Clemens is available for his superintendent report.
Okay. You guys want to ask questions there? We're going to let Mr. Clemens do his report first, and then we can ask questions of either of the two gentlemen. Okay. John.
Good evening, Chairman Scholes and board. As a board, our plan continues to run well within our permit limits. We don't have any violations to report. Our waste removal efficiency is at 95%. Again, plant's running very, very, very well. In maintenance and projects, we replaced the pressure transmitter at the reclaimed water we set parameters on a reclaimed water pressure VFD. We had a couple of call-outs, and so we had to deal with that system. Remove foliage from the fence line at the Sled Lagoon. A particular note might be that we had to remove the trickling filter, the FFR rotary distributor arm drive bearing assembly. And what that is on our trickling filter, on our FFR, you've heard us refer to it as both, we have a drive arm motor which regulates how fast the arm circulates around the media and thereby regulating how much water is distributed per square foot of media and giving us there's a window that gives us a more efficient distribution, which gives us more efficient treatment. There's a group of wires that runs up to the center well of that, and then from there, and we have an electrical cord going out to a motor which drives it, and the electrical cord on the center is housed in a bearing unit which allows it to spin without the electrical cord spinning. That seized up, the bearings in that seized up, the cord course spun with the rotary arm, the distribution arm, and that pulled the power wires away. The good news in that is that that was a refinement measure, or that rotary arm to be able to control the speed was something that helped us, but it's not absolutely necessary. In fact, most trickling filters run without it. And so we're waiting for a part. We're running without it. As the numbers show, we're still getting really good numbers. We've just got to adjust. So without that, the rotary arm is driven by hydraulics. There's an amount of water that's pushed up into the center well, comes out in the arms and drives the arms around. We can regulate our speed by regulating how many ports on each side of the arm go all the way around. And I know this might be a little more technical, but I guess the take from that is that that bearing failed on one of our key pieces of equipment, and fortunately that happens to be a bearing that's not necessarily essential, it's very important. But again, it kind of pushes to the forefront the idea that trickling filter has been running 30 years and that we need to trudge forward as quickly as possible, because if the bearing that's below that fails, at that point we have no treatment. And so we're already having a portion of that piece of equipment failing. It's just a matter of time. So anyway, that piece of equipment is down. We've got about two weeks, not the equipment, but that bearing assembly is down. So we don't have a drive motor. We're driving on hydraulics. That'll be fine for now. We should get that piece back in a couple of weeks, and we should be up and be able to refine our process if we need to that way. Also, we cleaned and painted some primary tube clarifier, replaced oil in our primary clarifier drives, secondary clarifier drives also. We inspected property and encountered another homeless encampment, notified the sheriff's station, and are letting them deal with that. We did a number of underground service alert, which is where we mark where people are going to dig so that they don't dig into our sewer lines. In regard to training, Operator 3 Jackman and Operator 2 Jones attended a two-day basic pump mechanical seal training class by Irv McDonald. As your board may remember, we eliminated the position of maintenance chief, so we really rely more strongly on our operators to perform the maintenance. It's more efficient. It's one less position that we need to pay if we can get our operators to do it. Our operators, again, being the people they are, have taken on that, and they've gone to electrical training, and now they're going to mechanical training so that we can fulfill that position without having to rehire an electrician at a really high rate or a maintenance chief at a really high rate. Staff also received training in operation of the grit removal system from Hydro International. When they came out and we started up the grit system, the representative from the manufacturer, which is Hydro International, was with us for several hours to make sure it ran, taught staff, went through, answered questions. They were very, very interactive with us, and we were kind of pleased with their participation. And we're happy with the training that they provided for us. With regards to call out, we had low pressure at the reclaimed water pump. Operator Mui responded. That happened to be at 2:43 in the morning on November 13th. She just switched over to our number two reclaimed pump. We don't have automatic switching yet, so she was able to respond and get that switched back. When we got back in the next day, we actually tried to recreate the problem. We weren't able to recreate the problem. And then on November 15th at 1 in the morning, we had the same alarm. At that point, Operator Jones was on duty, and he responded to switch pumps. As I stated in the maintenance portion, we then troubleshot it, discovered we had a faulty pressure transmitter, and we replaced the transmitter, so we haven't had any more call-outs for that. We had a County of San Luis Obispo Department of Environmental Health perform an inspection of our hazardous material handling program. The results of the inspection, there were a few things that we need to address and get back to them about. But the outcome of the inspection was that we were issued our certificate for 2017. So we were approved to continue to operate, and we had our process approved, but we have a few things we need to do and get back to the county on so they'll be satisfied. And that's in the run report. I'll be more than happy to answer any questions that the board.
Okay, thank you. Let's see, any questions?
I don't have any questions.
No questions? Jim, any questions?
A question and a comment.
Questions at this point.
Question is related to the payment to the regional board for the fine and related to our monthly cash report for October. Is the balance shown on the October report inclusive or exclusive of the amount paid for the fine? I just want to know, in, you know, big picture, is the fine already been deducted from our finances, or is that to be deducted?
Just checking with Amy. She's indicating no, because we paid that in November, and that would have October.
Okay.
So it would be reflected, we believe, in the next financial report.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Any other questions?
No. My comment is good job by the staff of meeting all of our discharge requirements and keeping the place running well.
So, John, can you tell me, you said the inspector came out and they did an inspection on our hazardous material handling program. So what are some of the specific things that they identified we need to work on?
Well, we didn't have a current or an up-to-date hazardous material business plan. We are given till January 5th to provide one. One issue had to do with containment of hazardous material chemicals. In that case, it had already been addressed. We had containment systems on order, so that's not an issue. And then the other issue was providing training on a hazardous material business plan. We hadn't done that thus far in this calendar year. We actually had that training today, so that's been addressed. The hazardous material business plan, I've already provided a draft. Myself and Mr. Huebner will be going over that here this week.
And what does that entail? I mean, is that?
That is the plan so it's not actually material handling, as you would think, but it's how the district does its business. So part of it is, the initial part of it is an identification sheet that we provide to the county. They issue us a number and hazardous business number. The other part of it is we have an individual sheet for each chemical we have. Mm-hmm. We identify the chemical. We identify the quantity we keep on site. We identify the amount of that chemical we use, the chemical authorization number, which is a number that you can go to a database and get the details for each chemical. So we have a sheet like that for each chemical we have. I believe we have... I don't know the exact number, about 14 sheets for 14 different chemicals. And so those sheets are contained in it, and then there's a
spill containment plan that's contained. So they make us identify what we would do in the case of an accidental spill, who would we call. We have to name the Five Cities Fire Authority. We had to name persons responsible for each action in each event. For example, I'm the superintendent, so I'd have to call and notify the agencies. Our plant supervisor would be responsible for handling the spill containment at a given time, and so on and so forth. And all those things have to be identified in it. And another element of it is that we have to identify the training that we give all our staff members on it each and every year. Then there's the, we have to give diagrams and pictures of the plant as a whole and then each individual building and where we store and where we use each and every chemical. So
okay.
It's in depth. So, and what it provides for the county is if the fire department has to come on site and there's no other one, then they can punch that up. They can know where everything is. So when they try to implement whatever measures they need, they won't cause a bigger problem by injecting some chemical in the area that we might have a more reactive chemical. So
is January 5th the deadline for that and then the containment of these materials?
The containment materials should be here in the next couple of weeks. We had already ordered those. And by the way, this was mixed. I mean, we did get our permit already, but I mean, it was a surprise. It was a pop-up. It wasn't a scheduled meeting. So the fact that we had the containment items ordered, I mean, it wasn't anything that we knew that was coming. It was just something that we had already identified.
And then you said there's been training for staff already?
Yes, we did.
Is that expected to be an annual training?
Yeah, it turns out that's actually on our maintenance. It's on our maintenance list. We have a computer maintenance system, and it was on our maintenance list for October. Somehow we didn't identify it. But it's actually on our maintenance schedule. It's part of our schedule, our written schedule, okay, every year.
Yeah, I'm just curious because the company I work for, I know that we do this training every year, hazardous waste and handling. So I was just curious.
Okay. Yeah. It's...
All right. If there's no more questions of staff, let me open this up to the community. Is there anyone that would like to address the superintendent and the district administrator's reporting?
Patty Welsh, I think Mr. Clemens might have just answered my question, but who's responsible for making sure employees stay up to date on their classes on the yearly basis? And I'd also like to say kudos to Mr. Clemens for getting staff trained for electrical so we're not paying higher to bring an electrician out. That stuff that is a ratepayer, I like to hear. We're saving money. We're doing it in the house. It's very much appreciated. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Julie Tacker, and I wanted to talk about the administrator's report where he touches on the trailer. I know we're going to have an agenda item, but I want to talk about something else at that time. What he says in the administrator's report is a CDP waiver was received on November 22nd. This is a proposed waiver.
Okay.
And that's what was received by the district. It's proposed. The Coastal Commission will be hearing the item on Friday in Ventura. And I have a slight concern because I've seen Mr. Huebner bill the district for travel, even though he has a car allowance. He lives in Ventura, and I don't want to see your district pay for him to drive home. I want no cost associated with the travel to Ventura. If any of you board members are going, I would expect, you know, the regular mileage reimbursement, but we'll talk, I guess, about who's going to Ventura at the next item.
Is there anyone else?
Well,
boy, now I have to get up and stretch, and before I could just sit there and comment. I have a couple comments. First of all, I'd like to go back to the numbers. The effluent fallout numbers that that are included in our packet every month. I apologize for being out of order here. So, Mr. Gerhardt or Mr. Clemens, whoever wants to explain this to me in a language where more than I can just understand it would be helpful. So my understanding is that on November 16th, you know, November of 16, the average EFF TSS was 32, correct? But the high was 38. And the absolute state maximum is 40. Is that correct? Okay. So which one is ours? Which number out of those three? Is this what we averagely run? Is it a 32? Are we high this month at a 38, which is only two below the mandatory? Or which one is it? So are we the average 36 if you drop down further from 2015? I mean, that's not clear to me. I suspect, but it's only an assumption, that we're the 38. And to me, that doesn't say you're running a clean plant. To me, that says we have problems in Paradise, and it's not an individual's fault as much as people like to blame individuals. It's about we're dealing with an old plant, and when you're in the geriatric years of humans and plants, they have to be treated differently. You know, so as much as we want to give credit to one person, no, it's going to take more than that. So even on the fecal coli, which you might all have different definitions for, but I'm pretty clear on what it is, that appears to be running a little high. If we're going with the high, if we're going with the limit, I think that's the limit. You know, so if somebody could explain those for us, and you don't have to explain them tonight, but you can explain them at a later date. But when you say it's running good, and then you go to another plant and you pull up their numbers, and their average is 12, their high is 17, that's problematic. So I'll move on.
Mary, I need you to wrap up.
You betcha. Okay. And then also, if you would, for future consideration, put this state inspection on the future agenda, because I found it very, very problematic that we had a huge flood, a huge spill in 2010. Everybody's pocketbooks and many, many homes were impacted. And we didn't have a plan in place. And I just felt like it was a big slap in the face. So if you could put that on the agenda for immediate development, you know, and find out why we didn't have that in place would be helpful. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Is there anyone else? Seeing no one come forward, let me bring it back. And I believe this is just a receive and file, correct?
I can respond to the questions.
This is a receive and file report.
This is a receive and file. So, John, you want to respond on the fecal coli as well as the EFF TSS?
Yes, sir, I apologize if I spoke.
And maybe
out of
just
order.
Clarify.
Okay. With regard to the TSS, we'll take that first. 32 is the average, our average. 38 is the singular high number. We record whatever our highest number for the entire month was. So 38 was a singular high number. What our actual average was 32.
If you look at last year's average, calendar year of 2015, the average for the year was 36. So 32 is an improvement on the past year. That may be why people think we're doing better. With regard to the fecal E. coli, our average is 3.1 for the entire month of November. Our highest number was 7.8 relative to a 2000. Again, that's probably nothing to be ashamed of. With regard to other plants, it would depend on their process. For instance, Pismo runs a activated sludge process, and their BLDs probably average around 2. We're a trickler filter plant, and no trickler filter plant has ever gotten a 2. And so, you know, when you compare at different plants, you have to kind of be careful and see if it's a comparable process. But that's pretty much it.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Okay. Kira, do you have anything, or are we good?
We're good on this report, unless there's further questions from the board.
Okay. Not seeing any further questions. Let's move on. And let's go to action items tonight. This is item number 7A. This is the 2016 Receiving Water and Outfall Inspection Report.
Thank you, Chair Scholes, directors, members of the audience, Gerhard Huebner. We're bringing this item to you because this was, and I'll give a little bit of background, but a little bit of put, as you just had a discussion about some of our plant effluent data. This is another piece of the puzzle in terms of information, plant performance. So I guess I'm going to put this a little bit in a broader context and then bring it back to why we're bringing this particular report. But in the big scheme of the things, the plant produces effluent, there's chemistry, there's physical processes, there's things that go on in the plant that provide that quality effluent. And, of course, under our permit, there are a whole bunch of requirements in terms of meeting permit and remaining in compliance. So this is one piece of that, and we're bringing this forth for you today. And, again, so a little bit of background. This is required every 3 years. We do an inspection of our ocean outfall under our NPDES permit. That's a federal discharge permit administered by EPA delegated to the state of California. So we get our permit from the Central Coast Regional Board. And so this responsibility for this ocean outfall inspection is shared with both, shared with the city of Pismo Beach. We both utilize it and show that it's a shared responsibility. So the study that you have, and I've included the executive summary, but of course the full report is available if anybody wants to take a look at it. So the study evaluated the effects of the discharge, our discharge, on the Pacific Ocean, which we refer to as receiving water. At your April board meeting, if you recall, you approved a contract for $40,325 with Aquatic Bioassay and Consulting Laboratories, ABC Laboratories. And so the cost of this with Pismo was split 50-50 with the district. So on November 2nd, we received the report from ABC Laboratories, South County Sanitation District Receiving Water Report 2016. And as I mentioned, we included the executive summary. They conducted in July, end of July, they did their survey. They collected chemical and biological evaluation of the adjacent outfall benthic sediments and a dive survey. So they looked at our outfall to see its state. They also collected part of their study, a single sediment chemistry, 5 in-faunal replicate samples, 5 locations in the vicinity of our district outfall. So, a little visual. This is this is from the report, our outfall. Now, it's a little bit distorted, of course, because of the presentation, but our outfall goes a little less than a mile offshore from the beach. Our facility, you see the airport in our facility, you can roughly see that up in this area here, right? Outfall here. So, they're going to go out there, and in the outfall, they're going to do an inspection of what's the condition of the outfall, and they're going to do some look at the bottom sediments and how is the biological resource, the marine environment, in terms of its quality. So
I've tried, hopefully, put a little bit of layman's terms in the staff report, distilling a whole bunch of technical information so folks can get a sense of what was accomplished. So sediment size, they look at it, what's there? Well, what they found is typical of a California nearshore environment, fine to very fine sand. Collected a total of 16 chemical samples. They measured them in the sediment. All samples were above laboratory method of detection. All it means is you typically would find something in sediment anyway. The laboratory has its minimal level. Everything was above that. Outfall-related contaminant patterns were detected. They did a correlation analysis, so no outfall-related contaminant patterns were detected. That's the key message. And the contaminant concentrations, and when they say contaminant concentration, it's really the stuff that they detected, typically metals, during this 2016 survey were similar to the sampling results from previous surveys, 2004, 2007, 2010, and 2013. So the evidence suggests there's no bioaccumulation of let's say, metals occurring over time based on from our discharge. More highlights. Again, the metals in the sediment were below NOAA. NOAA is a federal agency, indicating that the biological communities are not adversely affected. Benthic infaunal community collected in the survey are rich, highly diverse, and the abundance and nature of the species is not spatially related to the district's terminal outfall. So there was one odd thing. There was a slight outfall-related effect in one of the communities at the station. In contrast, all the other stations, they all had a score of above 60, which indicated they were healthy. The last highlight they want to bring to your attention is they did a video and underground drive survey of the outfall. They found that our outfall terminus cap was slightly opened, similar to previous surveys. Effluent flowing freely from the terminus with no obstructions. The effluent flowing from the diffuser ports on the north side had some considerable biological growth, but didn't seem to impair the flow. On the south side, in spite of previous surveys, there's no sanding, so that's another good thing. And they found no evidence of leaks, damage, erosion, holes, or cracks along the entire length of the diffuser pipe. Great news. So that's the highlights from the report. That's my presentation to you today, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Gerhard. Very good report. Let's see if there's any questions. Jim, do you have any questions?
From the content of the report, would you conclude that the ocean's not being polluted beyond repair?
I would conclude that our discharge, there's no evidence that our discharge is affecting the marine environment adjacent to our outfall.
Thank you.
Okay. Linda, anything?
I don't have any questions. Thank you for the report.
Great, and I don't have any questions. So let me open this up to the community and see if anyone has any comments.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I'm feeling a little deja vu. I could swear you gave this report. Mr. Clemens gave this report like a few weeks ago with regard to the beach numbers. Not quite the same report? Okay, well, I know that your report had the same conclusion in that the ocean is not damaged beyond repair. And I'm happy to see this, and it does clarify some of the misstatements. I just don't know how to characterize what was done by Ms. Lucy. I don't know how to say it nicely. So I'll just say she mischaracterized the operations of the plant, and polluting the ocean beyond repair was her characterization of the plant. So, and it's not that it's an old plant. It's a different kind of process than other plants. So what, and your next permit, the current permit you have is not current at all. It's expired. Your next permit's going to have a higher quality of water. You know that. I don't know that your community knows that, and that's why you're undergoing the significant rate increases to have a redundancy project to bring that water quality up. And that's part of the education process that needs to go on, not necessarily by hiring an outreach person, but by having good information that you can go to in every staff report and follow along what's leading up to when it finally hits their pocketbook, and that's coming. So this is a good outcome for the sanitation district. It's good to read. Good to see.
Is anyone else? Seeing no one come forward, let me close it and bring it back to the board. And I believe this is a receive and file report.
That is correct.
Okay. So we're going to move on to item 7B, which is the administration trailer. Mr. Huebner, you have the floor.
So this item was prepared at the request of Director Hill. I've provided a written background report. I won't go through it. It just provides a little bit of context and background. And with that, I'll turn it back to the board.
Okay. Let's see, how about questions? Jim?
Well, I guess I'm now, since our administrative building upgrades have been largely completed, questioning the need for this trailer at all at this point. I'm kind of concerned with one of the paragraphs in the report that says, in late August, San Luis Obispo County code enforcement staff contacted and notified us that permits were needed for the trailer and the C-train. This contact was initiated as a result of an anonymous call received. It should be noted the C-train has been at the district facility since 2013 without any concerns for permits. Other district facilities, past and present, may also now require Coastal Commission permitting due to this call. And the language "due to this call" is very concerning to me. It's like a denial. I would say that it was the district's failure to comply that put us in jeopardy and in need of verifying that our compliance was in fact properly permitted. It had nothing to do with a call, and I would think that the call was to our benefit to inform us that the district facilities need to be properly permitted in accordance with the various regulations that apply. So I'm again concerned about this and the apparent need for this trailer now seems to have outlived its purpose. So I wanted to have the discussion with the board of what we want to do with it, and hopefully we can move back into the revitalized admin building and eliminate the need for the...
So, well, I need... I'm going to give the public an opportunity, so whenever you tell... Yes, okay?
Just eliminate the need for the trailer.
Well, I... Okay. Linda, did you have any... Any questions, any comments?
Yes, I have some comments.
Okay.
I've been to all the meetings beforehand, most of them where this was discussed. And today I asked Mr. Huebner to show me the offices and the trailers. So I went to the plant, and I saw how the trailer's set up. I saw the offices, and I concur that all these points to consider are legitimate. The trailer is already, the lease is already for 1 year. September 2017, the trailer and the cargo trailer are supposed to be gone. So during that time, while they're using the new trailer as the office and they need to clear out the other trailer with the records in it, that they have the ability right there. There's the big meeting room in the middle of the offices in the trailer, that they can use that space to go through those records and make it a much easier process to comply with the removal of both of those units. And in the meantime, there are things that need to be done in the main office. I went through there today. There's no privacy for the administrator. Their office and the secretary are in one room together, where right in the middle is the woman's restroom. You walk in, you go to the restroom. I don't find it an effective place of employment. The furniture's old. It's obsolete as far as ergonomics is considered now in the new things that we have to consider for employee safety and consideration. So I think we need to continue with the trailer. They need to move their offices in there. In the meantime, get the other office ready to go back into. And I don't know if we're supposed to make a motion now or...
Yeah, so why don't you hold on to that? I'll ask questions. We'll see if the community has any comments, and then we come back, okay?
All right.
Very good. I'm going to hold my comments. So let me hold my comments. Let me open this up to the public and see if there's anyone that would like to address the item before the board.
I've been up to the plant several times, and I went out today because I had seen a report where I think I got my wrong glasses here. Excuse me, just a moment. It's a very small print. Yeah. Okay. So I saw the recommendations done by. Let's see. This would be the ARM ergonomic review, Dennis Timoney. After he went through the whole thing, these are the recommendations he made. There's five of them. Design a new workstation for the general manager secretary office areas. Design new workstations for staff for data entry and administrative duties. New ergonomic office chairs for all staff. Design new workstation for plant superintendent's office. New desk chairs and table for conference room. And I, there's been a lot of expense put into this trailer. Pretty much none of this has been done. It hasn't been addressed at all that I could see. There are no new chairs. The workstations they're doable. I mean, they've been using them for years, and they could be improved, and they haven't been. They haven't been updated for the recommendations that Mr. Huebner asked for months and months ago. Then there's a report from Bickmore Hazard Assessment Company. They came in and did a hazard assessment. Their recommendations are have HVAC professional check the system for airflow, so on and so forth. That has been done. Remove the old soil carpet and replace it with a non-porous surface. I did not see that that had been done. In the conference room, it needs to be done. The carpet's not awful, but it could stand refreshing. Replace the cover plate on the electrical plant panel. And a little instruct employees to replace the panel cover before leaving the area. I didn't see whether that had been done or not. Hang appropriate fire extinguishers around the place. I don't know if that was done. Contract with pest control company to control insect issue. These are all things that are very easily done. They could have been done in a month. Place a non-slip mat in front of the sink in the break room. Repair the urinal in the men's room. I know that's been done. It's been completely redone. Find the source of the water leak causing the paint to blister and repair it. That was done when they did the air conditioning or the duct work. They found where the leak was and corrected it. Determine if there's any mold damage. That's done by an inspection. These are things that could have been done without getting a trailer. As far as a meeting room, there's a conference room for privacy. It's a perfectly good conference room. that could have some ergonomic chairs in it, a nicer table. What I have observed over the last month is an expenditure of money and time and effort doing something that still isn't working. And the things that have been working that could have been improved have not even been improved. I think that's an incredible waste of money. I'd place it directly on Mr. Huebner. Jim said earlier that he hadn't been informed. He did not know that we were being interviewed. We were not being called. He didn't know about the trailer, as far as I know, and he didn't know about the Cambria thing.
I need you to wrap up, Ms. Morris.
Okay, I just find that is offensive to me, your public.
Very good. Is there anyone else?
Julie Tacker and Patricia Price did a fabulous job going through the list of recommendations from the specialists, but she failed to remind you that nowhere in either of these reports did anyone recommend a trailer. Recommending reorganizing the space that Amy and Mr. Huebner share couldn't be that difficult. And what would accompany a application to the Coastal Commission is a project that would remodel or add some sort of room addition, something that goes with the trailer has to remedy the situation. Everything, I feel like this whole application is a big fat lie to the Coastal Commission. I don't recommend you do that. It's really stupid because you need them. You need them in the future. And to lie to them about a urinal that's been repaired, an HVAC that's been repaired, peeling paint, they could care less if your paint is peeling. Fix it. None of this justifies a trailer. And when we talked about an offsite office or a trailer back with the adoption of the budget, Mr. Scholes said on camera that we would have a cost-benefit analysis for a trailer should we go that direction. That never happened. That never came to your board. Mr. Huebner took it upon himself to pursue a trailer, all the furnishings, yada, yada. What his staff report doesn't tell you is how much has been spent to date. The facilitating of the records will need a copy machine and scanner. Are you going to haul the one that you have in the current office over there? Are you going to spend the time and the money that it takes to somehow wire that thing up? I don't think so. Or are you going to get another one? I don't think so. You have to have the whole kit and caboodle there. There's been no inspections from the county on the electrical that actually goes to the trailer right now, or the plumbing repairs, or the HVAC repairs. The trailer's not ADA compliant. To have meetings in that room when you have consultants that have special needs, that's ridiculous. And then furniture that is wholly
different. Julie, I need you to wrap up.
Then needing new space. Again, there's been no recommendation for a trailer. Your administrator has been rogue in this pursuit.
Is there anyone else?
Ron Allison, Grover Beach. I'd like to echo the comments that are made. I think are pretty straightforward and make a lot of sense to me too. It seemed that refurbishing an office space that's already there would be a lot less time consuming, a lot less expensive than putting in a trailer that is a great distance away from the facility, from what I understand. And there are no facilities for the secretary that works there. She has to walk back to the facility. And in the next 3 or 4 months, that might be a real problem when it's raining. Hopefully it's going to be raining. The other fact that wasn't brought up is I understand there was rodent infestation under this trailer. I don't know if that's been taken care of yet. But it just doesn't make sense that we put a trailer in a facility on the property that really didn't need it when we could just make some improvements to the office that's already there.
Is there anyone else?
I'd like to speak in favor of the trailer. A lot of people brought up the cost, and I see it to be very cost effective in that it talks a lot about everything on physical site and the trailer itself and everything. But what it doesn't talk about is that we continue to have a void in our policies and procedures where we have two people who are in a domestic relationship in the same office. And this is not legal. So by having this trailer, having them separated off-site, you know, because you don't...
Please, Mary, everyone, hold on. Come on, Mary, stay on point, Mary.
So by bringing in such a thing, it does put a barrier in there. It does separate the two people from working in the exact same environment. So I think it is very cost effective. It was a wise thing to do, and whether you thought of it beforehand or not, it's there and it's part of the issue.
Okay. Is there anyone else? We're going to close this. Gerhard, would you like to clarify?
Just a few clarifying remarks. I'll be very brief. I mean, there was comments that the issue with the remodel has been complete. I think actually comments from Ms. Price were on point. There are a number of recommendations that have not been completed in terms of remodel. In terms of the flooring is the next thing that needs to be replaced. That was one of the recommendations, and we had always intended that to be part of the remodel. The bathroom actually was coincidental when it happened. We wished actually we had the trailer. I have some video to show how disruptive that was.
Go ahead.
So the remodel and the recommendations have not been completed, and you can see the analysis of why the trailer can assist with that, because replacing flooring will be disruptive irregardless of how we do it, whether it's in the lab, whether it's in the employee break room. The trailer can assist with that, and we anticipated that they could utilize some of that space. So I just wanted to put that on the record. We did have those analysis completed, the ergonomic and the industrial, because I was concerned when I came in for some of the health and safety issues. They're not acute. They could be chronic in terms of immediate health issues. The ergonomics go to other liability that potentially we could have. So that was another factor. You have privacy issues that were brought up, and I brought up in the past, having confidential discussions, having meetings. You have the women's bathroom as well. These are all factors in terms of professional office space for your district administrator, to support your district administrator. And so some of the comments are, of course, disconcerting to me that I've heard. There was always just good intent in terms of having a professional face with the image and the folks that I meet with. So I'll leave it at that.
So, Gerhard, could you speak to cost and budget? I know that not everyone has read the staff report, and I know you've given us information in the past. So
we looked, and again, there was discussion of having an off-site office. And in some ways, I probably regret not going with that off-site. I looked to actually address some of the comments and keep the off-site administrator for Ms. Simpson and myself on-site. That being said, we looked at off-site options. We looked at what the trailer would cost in terms of quotes. And let me bring forth, quotes were obtained before I arrived, but we held off and have concluded that analysis in the staff report. That being said, didn't go willy-nilly spending money. The lease is, there's only one lessee in Santa Maria. The next one is over in, I believe, the Central Valley. So in terms of obtaining quotes. Lastly, when we looked at furniture, again, we looked at various options and we got a 50% discount. Now, really, that's probably not relevant, but again, That furniture can go back into the building or some other off-site office and be available irregardless of whatever you decide to do with the trailer. We did not move forward with the chairs because we were waiting for the power to hook up. And now in hindsight, I wish I had purchased chairs because those chairs would be available to our operators irregardless of whether they're in the trailer or in our admin building. So we budgeted a certain amount. We certainly were way under that amount. I can't give you a specific total, but we can certainly get you that information at some future date.
Okay. That'd be good. Okay. So, Linda, I think you had already made comments, correct? And if you had any additional ones?
Well, I'd like to just say I really don't know why this is even on the agenda because it's gone on, you know, it's been going on so long. It's come this far. It's kind of after all the money that's been spent and we're almost done with it, why would you want to stop it now?
No. Okay. Jim, you have any other comments? I know you had made comments earlier.
My comment was generally that there was a lot of time that the trailer was basically unused, and the comment was made about dealing with records and not having a copy machine. There was one that I think is relevant here. I'm not sure the relevance of discussion about chairs and so forth, but I would hope, again, that the things that are relevant to me is making sure that we comply with regulatory requirements, including compliance with the Coastal Act. And using the existing facilities as much as we can when the need for augmentation, had there been one, is probably at an end.
Okay, so let me make some comments, and maybe I'm going to make them in two or three different categories. First of all, I would say that the facility that exists today did not contemplate us having a full-time district administrator. That's the first thing. I would say the second is that Mr. Huber has come and shown the condition of these facilities. I've been out at these facilities. And sure, the board made the decision to move forward with a full-time administrator, and obviously that has consequences or ramifications that come with it. Not negatively having him, but obviously an impact on the existing facilities. I find it quite interesting that when we're talking about issues of having a facility that is safe to create a good work environment for all the employees, the issue of privacy seemed to be getting lost in whatever this back and forth is. So I believe the staff has certainly made the case that we need to be making improvements at that facility. And when he came to this board to talk about a remote office, yes, at that time, I did say, and I think the other board said, let's do a cost-benefit analysis before we determined whether someone should move off-site. I don't even know if a trailer was contemplated at that time. I knew we had talked about doing improvements at that facility. And if we're going to upgrade this facility, whether it's the flooring and the restrooms and the things of that nature, we do need to have a facility out there that for the employees to work at. And I'm just a little confused on that. But I think the district administrator has made the case. Jim, I agree with you with respect to the wording in the staff report, and I don't believe that's what the intent was, but nonetheless, I think what it really says is that we are going to have to figure out what inventory our facilities out there, do an assessment of what permits do or don't we have, because compliance is important. I would say the trailer, yes, it was very awkward. Obviously, we should have pursued permits because now we know that there's a permit required from the county and from Coastal, and I believe Mr. Huebner is working through that. And so I believe we need to get this finalized, get it in compliance, and the fact that it is a lease, 12-month lease, and we're already into it a few months. still remain, the question still remains, what do we do long term? So we're sitting here having these heated debates over a trailer when we're losing sight of what's the long-term vision here for all employees. I believe the points to consider are valid. I believe there's still a lot of work to do out there. I've been at the facility several times and believe that we need to move forward, get this trailer permitted. I think Ms. Tacker brought up some really good points regarding ADA accessibility and all of those technical things, and I believe that needs to be addressed through the permitting process. But we are certainly going to have to figure out what to do going forward. Linda, I know you had made comments earlier, and if you would like to make a motion, we can move forward.
Well, I'd like to make a motion that we move forward with the plans for the trailer in the future. Well, I guess that's just the motion, that we move forward.
Okay. And I'm going to second that. Any additional discussion? Okay.
Well, the reason I brought this up was that I thought the board should consider where we're going with it, what the overall plan, as you mentioned, for the office facilities and lab facilities on site were, such that we address any shortfalls with those facilities. Things like ADA compliance, obviously, permitting issues. So those are the reasons that I wanted to make sure that this was discussed. Yeah. I brought it up as a discussion item.
Those are and all very valid, and I think I'm with you that making sure we have compliance on all facilities out there. And yes, you're right, whether it was an anonymous call or whatever, it's now been brought to our attention, and it's incumbent upon the staff and the board to make sure that we are in compliance. And I think we are heading in the right direction, because I think Mr. Huebner pointed out correctly, in 2013 he was not with this organization, and there were issues back then that needed to be addressed. And so we are going to address those as well. Okay. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
No, just continue to work with the Coastal Commission staff as it was brought forth. There will be a hearing. Well, the item is actually on consent on Friday, the waiver. And I was at county planning today and made a considerable amount of progress on the permitting there. They were very helpful, very sympathetic, actually, to the situation. And we are working on our other issues in terms of finding out what has been permitted at our facility or not. In fact, we've included a lot of those, including the recent grit removal system that preceded me, in our application on the redundancy project.
Okay.
So we're trying to fold everything in now to make sure that when and if we get to the Coastal Commission for a hearing and get issued a coastal development permit, that it includes everything, and we can move forward and not have these kind of issues facing us in the future.
Okay, very good. There's a motion and a second on the floor. Let's do a roll call, please.
Chairman Schultz?
Yes.
Director
yes.
Director
Hill? No.
And for the record, Austin?
It's okay.
Okay. So the motion carries. Let's move on to our next item, which is... Oh, we have a closed session coming up. Legal counsel, will you cover our closed session items tonight?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The board will be holding two closed sessions this evening under the public employee, public employee discipline, dismissal, and release exemption in the Brown Act, and under the anticipated litigation under the Brown Act. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any members of the community that would like to address the closed session items?
Ron Arnelson, I'd like to commend each one of you for your ability to be elected and be reelected in some instances. And I want to remind you that you represent your communities, and you represent the ratepayers of this district. That's your main goal. Your goal is not to represent the district staff. And there's an article I want to put into the record.
Of the board members. That article was in Calcos News, and it doesn't give this district very good light. You guys hired a district administrator to move forward on redundancy, water reclamation. I think that should be every agenda, every item, every time you have an agenda, that should be one item on the agenda that continues. Should have a, no matter if it's just, if you're a district administrator just says there was no movement, I want to know that that is the number one thing that we're doing. He's also failed to bring forward several things that have been asked for, such as employee benefits. It's taken forever. We're not hearing any much from that. The defamatory statements that were made. You guys did make a motion to bring some of that forward. So I just see things that really don't take place on the agenda. So I think that's some things that you need to have a business plan for your district administrator, and he needs to follow those, or he needs to hit the road. There were several people that had the job before him that were part-time. They did more part-time than he does full-time. I understand he doesn't spend a lot of time in the district itself. So I think you should make some of these things, take them into a closed session with you and think about them. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Julie Tacker again, and I'm not sure how this got on the agenda. I'd like to hear if we could understand that. I don't think Mr. Huebner's a good fit, and with regard to discipline or dismissal, I would ask that you consider dismissal. Mr. Huebner's resume, he says he was a senior Southern Watershed and Permitting Unit something. Peppered throughout the resume, he talks about his experience with permitting. Clearly, has no clue as to permitting with regard to the Coastal Commission. And, with regard to his contract, he was to have, as soon as practicable, and he's been here about 7 months now, as soon as practicable after the employee's start date, the board of directors and employee will meet to review the district's existing strategic plan and or set out goals and priorities for the employee to implement prior to his annual performance evaluation. He's got 4 months to get you a strategic plan or go over the old plan. I haven't heard anything about a strategic plan even coming forward. Mr. Arnoldson mentioned the personnel policies. You heard others talk earlier about the retirement and the medical benefits. I heard rumblings about unionization. We know, we've seen it, the minutes actually reflect that these corrections to Ms. Lucy's statements have been asked for and were directed to be given and done. The contract also says that he would meet with each of you weekly. I know he's not meeting with Linda weekly yet, but I know he's not meeting weekly with all of you. I know that. So I don't think he's complying with his own contract. I think he held himself out in his resume as something he's not, and clearly the directions that have been given by the board are not being followed. And again, I don't think he's a good fit.
Is there anyone else?
Good evening, Beatrice Spencer, Roy Grande. I just wanted to say that having attended these meetings for 2 years now, I was hoping that the worst was behind us. We've had two very tumultuous years that I've attended, and for a bit of time, we had a break in the discord when Mr. Clemens was actually acting as our administrator, wearing two hats, doing quite well at that. When I see the legal bills escalate again and you hear about unionizing, those are signs of trouble. And we don't seem to be moving away from the trouble. We seem to be moving into more trouble. And that concerns me because you watch those tens of thousands of dollars going out the door to legal expenses that we didn't have before Mr. Huebner got here related to personnel issues. We had the ongoing litigation. We've gotten through that. Now we're just trading one set of issues for another. We were hoping, the ratepayers were hoping we were going to get a break from these legal bills. But now we've just transferred from a spill and lengthy litigation with that to personnel matters. It's very, very, very disheartening. Last meeting that I attended was grievances with employees. Now here we are talking about dismissal. A trailer that isn't even occupied, that's been there for how long now, that we're paying for. This is not a good use of our money, ratepayer money. And with you three being the bosses, the buck stops with you. You're the one who approved these warrants. And for our money to be spent on legal expenses month after month after month, going the wrong direction is very frustrating when you're sitting on this side and you have no say-so whatsoever but 3 minutes. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Andrew Brunet, Oceano. I as well had started coming to these meetings just a little under a year ago, and definitely did research and reading up on a little bit of the history of this district. I think all of us here would say that we're a little disappointed with where things are at today, especially when you look back early spring, January, February of last year. That's when I started coming to the meetings. Things seem to be really progressing and moving forward. And getting out of the litigation business, which happened just a few months ago, but that was in the works, and board made the decision to hire a full-time administrator. There is such a thing called causation. And when you look at what has changed in the district, and this is nothing personal against anybody, but things have gone downhill. When you look at grievances being filed, when you look at employee morale going down, when you look at potential litigation, these are serious matters. And that has to be taken into consideration of what is the cause of this. And there's only been one thing that's really changed. And I see down here it says public employee discipline, dismissal, release. You know, I tend to think that there are really only two options. And I would say maybe improvement. There are meetings that can be gone to, conferences that can be gone to for people to help further how they manage, how they lead, interpersonal skills, all those sort of things in order to improve themselves and improve the district, improve the management of the district. I think these are all things that can be taken into consideration as well. And then absolutely dismissal is another one. So I hope all that will be taken into consideration as well in closed session. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
I agree. We seem to be going backwards again at the plant. We seem to be getting ready to run into the red. Staff is not happy. And issues seem to have started when Mr. Huebner came on board. Seems as if Mr. Huebner's not at the plant very often. He doesn't seem to have a good working relationship with the staff or with Mr. Clemens. He's recently decided to hire a PR person. I thought that was what we were paying him to do. I brought up last time. He doesn't write his own reports. He's delegating his work out to other people so they can do it. He's been given a healthy car allowance, yet he rents cars to go to meetings. He flies to meetings. He's running up cost. He seems to need work on his communication skills. As the speaker before me said, hopefully that's something that can be obtained. It's needed. Attorney fees are up again. How many times have I stood up here and said something about attorney fees? I'd really like to see them go down. Now we have an investigation into racism. It's terrible. We had a redundancy plan in place and start proceeding with those plans. Staff seem to be handling many issues in-house, keeping costs down, and they seem to be working well together. We'd removed Mr. Wallace and Mr. Seitz. Mr. Sweet stepped down, and Mr. Clemens stepped up and helped guide this plant until we could replace Mr. Sweet, which we did 7 months ago. Since Mr. Huebner has come on board, things seem to keep going downhill. What's going to happen if Mr. Clemens leaves our plant? Will we lose, he's a grade 4 operator. Will we lose the two Mikes who stood up here last meeting with a grievance? This is a small group of people who work at sanitation districts. Word's out about what's going on, I fear, with our district. How far are we going to have to look to get these employees replaced? How much is it going to cost us to replace the employees? And how long is it going to take to train them to what the employees today are doing? Please consider all that as you go into this.
And Patty, I need you to wrap up.
Okay. It might not be a good fit. Nothing personal against the man. I don't really know him. But we need to cover our butts. And if it's decide to let him go, maybe next time, as I stated before, we'll cover ourselves on the front end. And if you want to give 6 months probation, you ask for if you want to give 6 months severance, you give 6 months probation too.
Patricia Price, Arroyo Grande. I really agree with everything that's been said so far. I have been distressed at what has been going on the last few months. It just seems like everything we've worked so hard to pull together to make a team out at the plant that really worked well, loved their work, loved going to work. I loved hearing the reports and all of the wonderful things that they were doing out there. John always came up, we save money this way, the staff is training, to take on more. It's in-house, we're saving money. He was saving money. And now, I said we do not need a full-time administrator. We just don't need one. This is a small district. I know we've got big projects, but the people that do the projects are pretty good at what they do. And John's pretty good at overseeing and being a part of it. I would say retraining or working to get somebody's working skills is not our job. That's the job of the individual who needs that training. When someone comes here, they ought to have the skills to work with the staff. I don't want to see retraining. I don't want to see anything but dismissal. That's the only thing that is going to work in this case. I know. If you don't do it, we'll see what happens. But I don't have much hope for this district the way we've been going the last few months. So please, dismiss. Cut your losses. Cut your losses.
Is there anyone else?
Mary Lucia Oceano, it always amazes me the level of arrogance when you're looking at somebody with 30 years experience with the State Water Quality Control Board and all these other entities, and you're telling them that you know more than them. It's arrogant. That's all I can say is arrogance. it's manipulative, the actions that have been taken one person after the next. I don't like, he's not a very good fit. What is this, a turn and burn him? Because every time you go out of one of these contracts, if you think for a New York minute you are saving any money, no, you all know thousands and thousands of dollars go out to get rid of a good person. You know, and here we go with the Sand District again. And oh, we always will save money when we defer maintenance. And what happens when you defer maintenance? You get bad reports from the state and the county that says that your plant is crumbling because you've deferred maintenance. So of course you're saving money. 30 years experience. When I saw read his resume, I went, ching, ching. What did we get a break? No, we brought a good man in here so people could browbeat him, drive him into the ground because that wasn't the person they wanted. That wasn't the person they wanted their daily hugs from. Mr. Sweet was asked to leave. I have that memo. And it was also CC'd to Mr. Clemens. So, three administrators, here we go. I can't believe it. I hope this board, I have faith in this board, that you'll do the right thing. That you'll take this petty micromanaging, tell them to go sit down and let the man do his job. And if any employees don't want to do their job, by all means, there's the door, because there's 300 more waiting to take their position. So thank you.
Is there anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward, let me close this to the public, and they're going to bring it back. And I think at this time we are going to go into closed session. And I don't know, is there a separate room that we can use? Ah, excellent. Excellent. I think AGP's ready. You ready? Okay. We are going to reconvene into open session, and I'm going to turn this over to District Council to give a report on our closed session.
Thank you, Chairman Scholes. The board held a closed session pursuant to the two items listed on the agenda, and there is no reportable action for both items. However, the board did authorize a statement by the chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Trujillo. I just want people to know the board takes all complaints of discrimination very seriously. Discrimination on the basis of any legally protected status not only violates the law, but also violates the district policy and undermines efficient operations. Therefore, attorneys for the district commissioned an independent investigation of complaints of discrimination presented to the district. There have been no sustained complaints of discrimination. I think with that, we are adjourned for the night.